We talked about heroes and kind of asked what a definition of hero was, and the kids said someone who has courage or insight, leadership or devotion, someone who lives for others and not just for themselves, someone who lives for something greater than just themselves. And I think with that definition in mind, Martin Luther qualifies as a hero. Last year, we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. That day, October 31st, 1517, when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door of the church, the castle church, in Wittenberg, Germany. That single event, it didn't come out of a vacuum, but that event heralded the advent of what we now call the Protestant Reformation. And last year, we celebrated that 500th anniversary with all the hoopla we could muster. Because the beginning of the Protestant Reformation was one of the most pivotal events in Western history in the last 1,000 years. In fact, in 1999, Life magazine, with the turning of the millennium, they did a special issue on the 100 most important people and events in the last 1,000 years. And the Reformation came in second, just behind the invention of the printing press, which was also central to the Reformation. The Reformation transformed our world, and it still carries great weight. Martin Luther, that humble monk, is one of the most important individuals who has lived in the history of the world. And so 500 years ago, and especially last year when it was that 500th anniversary, we celebrated it big time. But now it's 501, right? So big whoop, right? It's still important. It's still important. What Luther did is still central to us. And so today in my time I have with you, I want to do something very simple. I simply want to say thank you to Brother Martin. Thank you, Brother Martin, for the things you have done. Just some of them. We'll talk about more in the adult forum. Some of the things you have done to help us and make us who we are. So here we go. Thank you, Brother Martin, for the courage you showed us. Luther truly was a hero. He was an extraordinary individual. He was an ordinary man, but he showed amazing courage even at times when he was overwhelmed with fear. It's hard for us in our everyday lives to imagine what it takes to be that one person who stands up against the crowd and everyone else. We know the names of people who've done that through the course of history. They have names like Jesus or Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. or Rosa Parks. Luther is on that list because he dared the Roman Catholic Church and the Holy Roman Empire to change, and he did so armed only with his faith. You know, we who live today, in spite of the horrific shooting in Pittsburgh yesterday, we run such a little small risk for living out our faith. It's hard for us to imagine what someone like Luther went through. When he nailed those 95 theses on the door of the castle church, he challenged the church and he dared European society to confront the way they had always done things. He called the status quo to question, and that was a risky thing to do. There was another would-be reformer who lived 100 years before Luther. His name was John Huss. And he ended up being burned at the stake for doing the very same things Luther did a century later. Luther had to know that if Huss ended up in flames, he ran the risk of doing that as well. His courage is not something to be taken lightly. In 1520, the Pope excommunicated him, which meant much more than you can't come to church. It cut himself off from society. It cut Luther off from the protection of the government. And in Luther's day, there was no such thing as separation of church and state. They were intimately intertwined. When Luther went to that meeting, that diet, in the German city of Worms in April of 1521, he had to travel there under a safe conduct pass because he was still a wanted man. When he dared to stand up before all the religious and political leaders in Europe and declare, "Here I stand," that was an amazing thing to do. Luther was a man of courage, but he was a human. He is no Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was not The Rock. There were times when Luther was paralyzed with fear, wondering, "Am I doing what is right? Who do I think that I am that I can dare challenge everything that exists?" You've ever had that uneasy feeling in your stomach when you've got to stand up against people? You've got to confront someone. You've got to do what's right when you know you're going to, there might be a cost paid for that. Well, multiply that by about 100 times, and maybe you've got a little glimpse of what Luther went through. The first day at Worms, he was so petrified with fear, he couldn't speak, and he asked for another day to consider what he'd say. But when he came back the next day, he was a man of resolute faith and courage, and he boldly declared, "Here I stand." And the world was never the same again. Thank you, Brother Martin, for showing us the power of God's grace and faith. Luther knew that God's grace was everything. He knew, as we sang in that hymn, that by himself he was nothing. There is nothing he could do to save himself. And that early in his ministry, that overwhelmed him. There are stories of Luther when he was a young monk of starving himself, of beating himself, of laying naked on his cold stone floor in the middle of winter, trying somehow to drive sin out of his life, but failing every time. He was close to being a broken man. When Father Staupitz, his superior, sent him off to study the scriptures. And in Luther's study of the scriptures, he grasped the beauty and the truth and the power of what the Apostle Paul wrote. The words we heard today. "For there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Or these words that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not your own doing. It's a gift from God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Luther's newfound power in the grace and love of God, it freed him. It transformed him, and it continues to do the same thing to us today. As Katie did so well in her children's message, we do not earn our salvation. It is given to us as a free gift, and all we can do is say thank you to God and live lives that show that thanks. Thank you, Brother Martin, for your devotion to the Scripture. The Bible is the most powerful and important book in the history of the world. Yet, in Luther's day, as today, so many Christians, they really never crack open the cover. They never take the time to explore what is in the pages of the Bible. It remains a foreign land to them. But Luther loved the Scriptures. Luther reveled in the Scriptures. He devoured the Scriptures. One of his great hymns is, "God's Word is our great heritage." For Luther, the Bible contains the joys of what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ. His life was dedicated to studying the Bible, teaching the Bible, living the Bible, and trusting the Bible. After the council in Worms, Luther on his way back was kidnapped by some of his friends who whisked him away to the castle Wartburg to protect him. And for 18 months he lived there in hiding. And how did he spend those 18 months? He took the Bible then in Latin and Greek, and he translated it into the everyday German of his countrymen. His greatest gift to the German people was a Bible they could actually read and understand. And Luther's translation is still one of the most popular German translations in the world, 500 years later. He wanted the ordinary German citizen to know the power and to cherish God's word. In fact, he went further. He wrote this book called The Large Catechism, which he wrote for pastors to teach to parents, so parents would know the basic teachings we have founded upon the Scriptures. And then he wrote, remember everyone, this wonderful book? The Small Catechism. He wrote this not for pastors to teach children, but for parents to teach their children the basic understanding. In fact, moms and dads, just so you know, he said kids should not get breakfast until they've gone through the catechism with you every day. Just saying. Okay, might want to think about that. Our Lutheran devotion to Scriptures today, and just think of all the ways we teach and study God's Word, here at church, in other groups, and in your own lives. It is so much because of what Luther has taught us about Scriptures. Thank you, Brother Martin, for your desire to care for others. Luther was a theologian, and he was a teacher, but he was a man of the people. And his life was dedicated by his desire to help other people. He told his congregation, "Don't just focus on making sure you get to heaven. Focus on how you can live out your faith right here and now by helping others. One of the 95 Theses says that Jesus did not teach that if you have two coats, sell one and buy an indulgence, but if you have two coats, sell one and give it to the poor. Luther worked continually to help the poor and the needy in his community. He encouraged others to do it as well. And our Lutheran church today, with its emphasis on caring for others, perhaps you've ever heard of Lutheran Social Services, or Lutheran World Relief, or Lutheran Immigration and Relief Services, or Lutheran Disaster Response, these all continue the tradition Luther taught, which Luther learned from scriptures and from Jesus, of caring for others. It's part of who we are as Lutheran Christians. Thank you, Brother Martin, for your love of family. Luther mused at one point what a strange sight he must be, an ex-monk married to an ex-nun with a house full of kids. He didn't want to get married, just so you know that. He thought marriage was for others, but not for him. But when finally his marriage was arranged with Katharina von Bora and they were married, Luther experienced the joys of family life. He loved his family and he cherished time with them. There are actually, as rare as pictures and paintings and drawings were back then, there are paintings and drawings of Luther together with his family. He adored his wife. He called her Lord Katie, and he appreciated the way in which she ran their household. And when his 14-year-old daughter Magdalena died in his arms, he was crushed as any parent would be, and he's reported to have said as he stood by her coffin, "My darling, you will rise and shine like the stars and the sun." The love of family is part of our Lutheran heritage as well. Family worship, Sunday school, even such things as trunk or treat, all celebrates family and faith. And it's wonderful to be part of a church that is filled with families and children. Now, I know our worship services at Grace can be a little noisy sometimes. And I know, as I said in my sermon last week, we have a church that has fingerprints all over the windows. But would you really rather have the option of no children in worship and clean windows? Or would you take a church that is filled with children? I'll take the children. So would Luther. And finally, thank you, Brother Martin, for your love of music. It is hard to imagine the church without music. Music is so central to our Lutheran faith. Luther loved music. He played the lute. His household was filled with music, and Luther knew the importance of how music teaches us, because we learn so well with music. To this day, I am 62. I still go A, B, C, D, E, F, G when I have to remember what comes after L. That's the power of music. Luther wrote hymns. We know that, right? We sing his hymns. And you know what? I seriously doubt in the year 2517 or 2518 if people will still be singing the songs of Prince and Lady Gaga. But they will still be singing Luther, because that's how important and powerful his music is to us. The hymn we sang today, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," it's basically John 3:16 set to music. It speaks to us of what God has done. I especially love the words of Luther's one-verse hymn, "God's Word is Our Great Heritage." God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. It spreads its light from age to age, shall be our chief endeavor. Through life it guides our way, in death it is our stay. Lord, grant while time shall last, your church may hold it fast throughout all generations. As long as we sing those words, Luther's voice will be alive in the church. So friends, 501 years is a long time, but it's been 501 years and Martin Luther is still important. His is a voice that still resonates. It's 501 years later and Luther remains one of the great servants of Jesus Christ. In our gospel for today, Jesus declares this: "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So thank you, Brother Martin, for helping teach us to continue in Jesus' truth. So happy Reformation Day, and now let's work toward 502. Amen.